Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello friends, welcome to June and welcome to your first Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast of the official summer. I am Mark Heath, all four Kings in situ today, and I'm going to talk to them now. I'm going to start, of course, with a man, Ross Halls, no longer the prospect, now the man, because you've got a new grown-up proper office, Ross. Where are you talking to us from now? Because you, Ross Halls Towers, has been relocated.
Yeah, I'm actually now professional now. I'm actually on a desk, on a swingy chair. I've also got a whiteboard right here. Nothing's on it at the moment. But, you know, stuff will go on there shortly. But, yeah, I feel very, you know, professional. I feel like I can sit up straight and, you know, speak with more vocalness and stuff like that.
Excellent. More vocalness and authority. What do you reckon is the first thing you're going to write on the whiteboard? Have you already drawn a phallus on there? That's the question.
I ain't got no pens. I actually haven't got no pens, so I can't actually do that. That's the first thing I need to do, buy pens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see you, Ross, in your new location, and to hear that you have a new swingy chair and a whiteboard is great news indeed. Next up, the man who was on holiday last week, then he wasn't on holiday, then he was on holiday, then he wasn't on holiday, and now he's back, and he's absolutely buzzing to be here. It's the Doctor, Stuart of House Watson. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I think listeners might be able to pick up on the fact that you've got a holiday coming up and you're feeling quite excited about that. You've got a little spring in your step today, haven't you?
I've also had four coffees because I got up really early this morning to do lots of work, so I'm very busy and important. But yes, Watson, tell us about your holiday, which wasn't a holiday, and it was a holiday, and it wasn't a holiday, and it was.
Yeah, we've established that. Yeah, it was very nice, thank you. Yeah, went down to Cornwall, see some of the family. Had to dip in and out of the Kieran McKenna stuff. Very selfish of him.
It really was.
For it to drag on that long. But no, it was all good. Thank you.
It really was. Nice. Tell us about the breach of etiquette you told us about off camera yesterday involving Cornish pasties, which I didn't realise was a thing.
Oh, yes. You asked me if Cornish people do indeed eat Cornish pasties. Yes, from my experience, very, very much so. Very proud of that. But I came back from the shop with some pasties for everyone on the beach and was met with a look of disgust because they were crimped at the top, which apparently is the Devon way of doing it. Yeah, I was very much frowned upon.
Is that basically like turning up to a town game wearing a Norwich shirt? Would that be the kind of...
I think so, yeah.
I'm
lucky I'm still in the family. I thought I was going to be disowned for a moment.
Excellent. It's great to have you back with us, Watson. And obviously, I'm going to ask you about McKenna shortly because I know the people want to hear your thoughts on that before we get rolling. Finally, of course, the youngest of guns, the ever-present at the moment, AJ, Alex Jones, how's things with you? You're looking particularly impish and handsome today, if you don't mind me saying.
Wow, someone really has got a spring in the step with the holiday. Thank you very much. Kind words. Yes, I'm good. I feel like it's good that Town are in the Premier League because I think if we had to go back to home park, Stu might be banned at this point. So positives of promotion to add to the list. But other than that, all good.
Right then. Before we get rolling, obviously the main body of the show today is going to be talking about the retained list and thoughts therein and therefrom. But people have been no doubt wanting last week's Stu when me and AJ sat down and did the show on Friday. They were actually thinking, this is all right. But really what I want to know is what Watson thinks. Now, obviously, you wrote an excellent chin-stroking Watson classic about that exact subject, the McKenna unedifying soap opera, you called it. But I think people probably want to hear in audio form before we get rolling on today's show what you actually make of it all.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
I think we're all ready to move on from this.
I am, certainly.
Very, very, yeah. Strung out soap opera. It felt like it went on for ages, but the people going, this is really going to impact on plans for next season and we've lost any kind of advantage we'd had by not going into the playoffs. And I don't think it really had that big an impact, really. It was all, you know, ultimately it's all done and dusted by the time June came around. From what Mark Ashton and Kieran McKenna said in their interview, which I thought had a good level of openness to it. Plans for next season sort of continued throughout all of this. While that was all sort of going on in the background, things stayed professional and they were talking transfer targets and all that sort of stuff. So good news. It's essentially the not much more to say than that, is it? It would have left a real flat feeling, I think, going into the season had Kieran McKenna not stayed in charge. He's the jewel in the crown. He's the biggest reason why the club has got back to the Premier League in double quick time. And it's fantastic that they've kept him. So, you called it, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago? Everyone, stay calm. Trust the process. Trust the people behind the scenes that obviously did everything they could to persuade him to stay. And as we discussed, you know, there was always going to be a lot of pull factors for him to stay in Suffolk. His family has settled here. He wants to kind of see through a project that he's been part of, and that's ultimately probably tugged at the heartstrings. I know there'll be talk about the big chunky new contract has obviously helped as well, but I think there'll probably be a lot of emotional factors involved as well.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly say that, Stu, but you were right. I was absolutely bang on. And that's what I'll say on that. AJ, so Stu's holiday was ruined last week by Kieran McKenna. Is he staying? Is he going? Saga. And also we then had to essentially live in inertia while that was going on. And then we talked about on Friday's show, the next kind of set piece really was the retained list, which we said we're expecting in the next few days. And then that was duly released at 5 p.m. on Monday, which was fine. You know, I didn't really want the Monday night. I loved it when that came out. Do you want to give us a quick précis about what happened, if you've got it to hand, and then we can have a little bit of a group chat around it?
If I have it to hand, well...
I've got it to hand. Shall I read it? And then we can have
a group chat. Yeah, you read it, and then we can go through that. Yeah.
Okay, there weren't really, it has to be said, a lot of surprises. So, Ipswich Town retain list. Released, Caden Jackson. Little tear from me. Dominic Ball. Lots of tears from Alex. Panucci Camaro. Camaro. We barely knew him, and Nick Hayes had already gone, let's be honest. Options taken, another year on the contract. Christian Walton, Axel Tuenzebe, Cameron Burgess, Idris Elmazouni. Returning for pre-season, we'll talk about this in a minute, Janoi Danasian, and in talks / contract offered, Vaclav Hladký. So then, where do you want to start, AJ, on this this chat? I'd imagine you want to start with a man who's named after a spherical object and occasionally played in midfield or you thought should have played at right back.
Yeah, I feel like this probably isn't the headline news, I'd say, from the retained list. So interesting coming to me first, but I understand that we will need maybe 10 to 15 minutes for me to materialise all my thoughts and emotions. I had a lot of people reaching out to me on Twitter asking how I was, which was very nice. Am I in an emotionally kind of okay state? The answer is no. No, I'm not. I asked if I could have a period of leave. Mark said no. So it's been a tough couple of hours. Let's put it that way. I think that there's a few different ways to look at this one. For starters, let's take the honest approach here. Don Ball came in and did the job that I think he was asked to do when he arrived at Ipswich Town in 2022. And he's someone that had impressive spells elsewhere. I think his QPR spell was impressive and it was good for Town to pick him up in League One. And he's constantly been a professional throughout his time, I think, is the biggest thing to be able to say about him. His versatility, the Swiss Army knife, as he will forever be known. Everyone's getting these Town tattoos. I might just have the Swiss Army knife and 12 tattooed on me. I don't hold me to that, please. But I think that's really the biggest praise you can give him, is that he was able to come in, play in midfield, play at right back, play at centre back when he came in and did that. He had a depth. He never really complained. When you talked to him, he came across as someone who was just really enjoying the journey. And his statement echoed that as well. When he left, this is probably going to be, A, the best dressing room environment he's had in his career, and also the highlight of his career to be able to achieve back-to-back promotions. So something that he deserves. He deserves also to go off and play regular football, because at the stage of his career he's at 28, he deserves that. And I think he goes with everyone's best wishes more than anything because of the person that he was. And we're all excited to see what he does next when he lifts the Champions League trophy and gets kind of on that Ballon d'Or shortlist in a few years' time. So, yeah, the sky's the limit.
Absolutely. We talked a lot about the kind of economic boost to Ipswich to get promoted. I'd love to know the specific economic boost to the tattooists of Ipswich upon Town getting promoted, because I'm seeing a lot of tattoos on social media of varying standard, I will say. Rossi, a man who's yet to have a tattoo, which surprises me somewhat. Caden Jackson, mate, I'm not going to lie about this one. It wasn't a surprise that he departed, but I was a bit sad about it, because Caden is one of the kind of few people who've been at the club since the bad old days. Obviously got relegated down to League One, and has now been a key part of getting all the way back up to the Premier League. So it's a brilliant story. And he's also a bloody ruddy nice bloke.
Yeah, what a roller coaster journey at Town, you know, from signing back in 2018 for a decent fee back then, because, you know, Marcus Evans didn't like to spend money, did he, really? Mm. Definitely under Mick McCarthy and, you know, and the rest. But yeah, you know, signing from a Aquitaine team, and then got relegated, as you said, and then League One under the Pools, Paul Lambert, obviously, who chucked him into the bomb squad. Came back under McKenna, obviously, and McKenna changed him. He actually said in an interview, I think, Caden Jackson said, "I feel like a footballer again." And obviously changed to a bit of more of a right winger. But yeah, unbelievable journey. Maybe not the best footballer in the world, but you can never doubt his, you know, his work rate, his attitude. And definitely from him coming from basically coming back from the dead in a way, you know, when his Town career was dead, he then came in, has been an important part of this last 2 years. So, yeah, wish Caden Jackson the best. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up, because he's still, you know, at an age where I'm sure he wants to be playing at a decent level. I don't know if he's got to that cusp yet of over 30 yet. But yeah, wish him all the best.
Yeah, I'd imagine he'll land somewhere in the Championship. His body of work is probably good enough to suggest that that will be the case. Stewie, Caden, again, I said it's not really a surprise, but was there any argument for maybe giving him an extra year and seeing how he fares in the Premier League? Because he's got one thing he can't teach, and that's pace in the Premier League. Pace is always an asset. And clearly, as we said, not kind of top tier in terms of football, I guess, but whether or not there was an argument there, what do you reckon?
That would have been the strongest argument, and also the fact that he wouldn't have broke the bank in terms of wages. And if you're trying to sort of do something significant transfer wise, there have to be sort of good squad guys, and Caden has been that, and I'm sure would have continued to be that. I think he's played at virtually every level, going all the way down quite into the depths of non-league. He'll have played, so for him to have maybe capped that just even with a minute off the bench in the Premier League, I think would have been nice for him to kind of round off his career. But for me, it felt like for him to continue his Ipswich journey, they would have had to have missed out on promotion. And when they did go up, it felt like that was probably the natural end to what has been, as the boys say, a roller coaster journey. There's no other way of describing it, really. Yeah, the first season, he was on a hiding to nothing, really, with that big transfer fee, I think £1.6 million, we've always pegged it at, from Accrington. He'd stepped up from League Two to the Championship, two levels, was handed the number nine shirt. Team was kind of stripped of goals that summer. It was really difficult for him. And then the next season, the partnership with James Norwood, I don't think the plan was really to play a 4-4-2 with two up top, but they seemed to click in pre-season and continued that. A lot of goals that came off rebounds from Luke Garbutt, free kicks and strikes, I seem to remember. Goals against Wimbledon, Tranmere, Fleetwood, winners from him in that season kind of stick in the mind. And it's easy to forget that Bournemouth, who just dropped down from the Premier League, were kind of tabling bids of up to £2 million at that time for him. And it's just a reminder of how quickly things can change in football. Is that red card against Sunderland a bit of a reckless challenge from him when he'd been out the team for a little while? And maybe that was just a bit of over-eagerness. And then Paul Lambert completely overreacted and called him a disgrace and stuck him in the under-23s. And there was that whole thing about both him and Nolan were in the under-23s, but Paul Lambert wouldn't say why the two of them were. I think John Nolan had said that he didn't really want to travel up to somewhere up north to be the 19th man, not even be on the bench. And that was all a bit silly. And then, as Ross says, along comes Kieran McKenna and just makes him feel like a footballer again. And he's more than played his part in these back-to-back promotions. Yes, he hasn't been a regular starter, but he's never sulked, always been ready when called upon, and had some really important contributions off the bench. And even this season, you go back to when Hurst was injured and they were short of strikers for that January period, and got that goal against, who did he score against in that January period?
Sunderland. Wasn't it? Sunderland. It's a nice little story there, given the red card he had as well.
Yeah, so he won't be short of suitors. As you say, I think Championship clubs will be interested, and everyone will wish him well.
Absolutely, consummate professional and never really let town down. In terms of the other people released, Nick Hayes, we already knew about. Just a short word on Panuche Kamara, Stewie, because he's deadline day signing, but a guy that just never really got going. I mean, at the time when he signed, there was a little bit of excitement about him, wasn't he? Because he was seen as potentially Plymouth's best player, and Town had just got him on deadline day, but arrived injured and never really got fit. I think he only played 4 games in total for Town, and he departs, which is to a lesser extent than KJ. But again, he seemed like a really, really nice guy. Just never really got the breaks at Town.
Yeah, Ipswich haven't got many wrong in the transfer market in recent years, but they did here because there was, you know, I heard from quite early on that Plymouth felt that they had done very well out of that. As you say, he arrived already. I think he already arrived needing groin surgery when Ipswich signed him, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but maybe that was a bit of a panic deadline day signing there. Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing, as I say, but his body's just not held up for him. He's had these repeated sort of groin injuries that have dogged him. Even if he had been fit, I think there might have been some technical limitations. He's a non-stop runner. He can carry the ball, but the feeling was that Plymouth had done very well to get £500,000 for him. So yeah, like all these players that have injury problems, you hope, you feel for them because they can't do the thing that they're good at and they love, and hopefully he can get himself sorted. But a rare miss in the transfer market, Panuche Kamara. The one memory of him, I think he made one league appearance, and did he come on against Cheltenham and hit the post, curled a shot against sort of angle of bar and post quite late on, scored in one of the FA Cup games, Bracknell. Shame it didn't work out.
Best of luck to him. Right, options taken then, AJ. Tell me where you want to talk about from this. So we've got Christian Walton, we've got Axel Twenzeber, we've got Big Cam, and we've got Idris Elmazouni. What do you want to talk about in that regard?
I will take Christian Walton. I think that's an interesting one because I think there was a feeling that this was likely to happen in terms of them triggering the option. It's been a very, very tough 12 months for him in terms of essentially going, not really by his own fault at all, but he's just ended up having to go from this hero to zero situation where 12 months ago we were talking about him stepping up and being one of the best goalkeepers in the Championship, given what he'd been able to do at League One, interest from the Premier League. I think Luton was sniffing around at that point. And then it all just went wrong when he picked up that plantar fascia injury, which was a really significant blow. And it also then didn't help that the backup goalkeeper who came in, who had hardly played any football at that point in what years since first came in and had that little run and then got taken out of the firing line, turned out to then be the goalkeeper that ended up taking to the Championship by water and becoming one of the best shot stoppers, 14 clean sheets. So he's not in a position where he's going to necessarily want to stick around and be a backup goalkeeper because he's going to know his worth. So it'll be interesting to see now what happens this summer. The Premier League's obviously an interesting one where he'll have clauses in his contract and things like that, where there will be that appeal. But I think it's quite clear that he's going to want to play regular football, and that'll be fair enough. So I think the option has been triggered, knowing that he probably will end up moving on this summer, which, again, 12 months ago probably felt unthinkable. But it's just how things have played out for him, and it's a bit of a shame in that way. But definitely the goalkeeper department is going to be an interesting one for Ipswich, as we'll touch on, and it's just been a really unfortunate one for him, and we'll have to see if there are going to be clubs looking to take him on, given that he hasn't played regular football in over a year now.
Yeah, Rossi, we might as well move. I mean, Christian Walton and Hladke obviously come as a pair, really. So we know that Hladke is in talk / contract offered. Do you think there's any kind of sense of being slightly concerned that's not been done yet? You wonder if there's any kind of discussion behind the scenes about whether or not he's going to remain number one. And if he doesn't stay, then you'd look at Christian Walton and say, well, maybe he can. Not too long ago, he was on the verge of starting in the Premier League, if not starting. So what do you reckon?
So I've just got pins and needles, so I'm just trying to get that out. Yeah, it's an interesting one because, yeah, he's just kept the amount of clean sheets. He's just been promoted, and there's no... You want those deals sort of done early in a way, but obviously they go on holiday. I'm sure he's got interest. I'm sure there is some fans going, What's happening? Obviously, they're in talks back in January, wasn't there? Remember that?
When he was linked to Celtic, wasn't it, back in January? Yeah. It kind of came out they were talking then.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not saying I'm panicking right now, but, you know, maybe in a few more weeks, you're like, when we're getting closer and closer to pre-season, he's technically out of contract. Is he out of contract, basically? He is definitely out of contract, isn't he? He's not got an option or anything, has he? He is, like, by the 30th of June, he's not a town player anymore.
So, I believe so.
So, yeah, you'd think if that's not happened by then, you're like, ooh. So, yeah, we watch this space. But that's interesting I think it's only going to be Christian Walton and Kieran Slicker who are going to be the only keepers. But hopefully Vaz stays.
What do you reckon to this, Stewie? Because it seems like it's a bit of an interesting talking point.
Sorry. I was looking up Ross's point about whether there's an option there. I've got a question mark on my spreadsheet, so I think there was no mention of an option year when that was announced. I would imagine that goalkeeper is a position unlike no other because only one of them can play, and so I would say assurances over your chances of being the starting keeper take. Probably overtake sort of financial side of things when you're weighing up whether to move or stay. That said, you know, they'll have had promotion, and this is true of all players, there'll have been promotion increase clauses when they went up from League One to the Championship, and likewise from the Championship to the Premier League. And it's very difficult. It's all very well saying, oh, they'll... Someone like Christian Walton will leave because he wants to play. As Ross sort of touched upon there, he's suddenly got a sort of a Premier League wage that might sort of soften the blow of staying sort of thing. And Ipswich have then got a way up, for example, if Vaz does sign, which I hope he does, because I think his style of play with the ball at feet is quite well suited to modern Premier League football. Ipswich, you know, even if Christian isn't particularly enamoured sticking around, Ipswich and say, look, stay with us for one more year, because it's hard to then go and convince a number two to come and sign. Come and sign for us and sit on our bench is a difficult sell as well. So it's all very much up in the air with both of them at the moment. But ultimately, it could end up with the two of them still being in place. I still think that's a possibility. But my gut feeling is that hopefully Vaz signs and Christian might sort of push for a move elsewhere, and we're seeing Ipswich linked to Cole Rushworth at Brighton in the last few days as well. So, yeah, certainly a situation to sort out.
In terms of the other options, there's obviously Axel and Cam Burgess expected. El Mazzouni option taken, but you'd imagine, Stu, obviously you've done stories around interest in him, that maybe this is the summer he moves on and they get a bit of a fee for him.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been pretty clear that the pathway is blocked for Idris for a little while now. probably should have happened, say, or maybe last summer or in January. There's been plenty of League One interest in him from some of the bigger League One clubs like Derby and Bolton and Charlton, amongst others. But he's stayed, seen out 2 years at Leyton Orient. He's been captain for prolonged spells there. Has had some pretty good reviews from them. So I think this is the summer now that Ipswich will look to recoup a bit of money on him. And yeah, and it will be time for him to move on. I mean, is he 24 now? I think something. I'll just double check that. But a bit like kind of Corey and Darba, if it's not kind of happened now, he's 23. But if it's not happened now, it's probably not going to happen. That's I think where it is at.
Yep. And then just finally, I guess from the retain list, the one final talking point is Junoid Inassian, who clearly has been, again, much like others we've talked about, has never let town down when called upon, always been the consummate professional. Spent most of last season injured after starting the season as the starting right back. They say he's training with the squad ahead of a successful 24-25 campaign, AJ. But my reading of that, and tell me if you agree, is that they feel there's a duty of care to him to help him get fit, and then he will be departing as well in due course.
Yeah, did we touch on Cameron Burgess there? Did that just...
Well, just only in that was expected. I don't think there's a lot to say around Cameron Burgess. Right. Would you disagree?
You're a man who has to say about everything. I would imagine there could be a contract offer longer than the 1 year coming up his way, would be the only thing I'd add onto that one. In terms of Inassian, it's a really interesting one in a way, because the way it's been phrased has definitely created some question marks. I do think it probably points to a Kyle Edwards-esque situation of, we have a duty of care and we're going to have him train in our top class facilities to get him back up to speed, because he's been really loyal to us and he deserves that. And then he'll have the freedom to find a new club. The other argument you can make with it is that Town's depth on the right is not great at the moment. When you look at Axel's been the player who's finished the season there, a natural centre back, will be interesting to see what his role is going to be in the Premier League next year, whether he's going to be, I mean, obviously he can cover both positions, but what his predominant one is going to be. Harry Clark, again, we'll have to wait and see what the extent of his kind of time on the sidelines is after this Achilles surgery. I don't think Achilles surgery is an easy one to get over. So I'd imagine that could be fairly lengthy, but we'll have to wait and see with that. And then you're obviously lost Brandon Williams, who's gone back to Manchester United. So that leaves Axel as the only right back there, as a player who isn't really a natural right back. So potentially there is the argument to be made that having that cover there is important. I was really impressed of the very few glimpses that we got of Inassian in the Championship in those games. The Sunderland one stands out to me, and Soak as well. Thought he did really well. But realistically, I'd say it probably is pointing to a move away. And if he can sort his fitness out, which has obviously been the big issue in the last 12 months, don't see why a Championship club would not want to pick him up.
Rossi, before we move on, have you got any other thoughts on the retain list or on Junoid, anything like that? Anything you want to say before we move on to potentially how many slots Town may have to fill this summer and where those may be in terms of priorities?
Just a nice change, isn't it? Because I think back in the day, definitely when Paul Cook obviously got rid of 20 players, obviously then signed 19. But I think there's no surprises, no big talking points. Maybe Kane Jackson is the big one in terms of, you know, a long time servant, but everyone else you'd expect, you know, Don Ball, as AJ touched upon, you know, good lad, but probably not what we need, you know, for the Premier League. But I'm sure he'll find a club somewhere. Not really no surprises. And all the extensions, you know, Cameron Burgess is always going to get that extension, especially with the season he had. But be interesting to see. Everyone just looks forward to the transfers now. I know you don't, but we've got a few now. Stu did a very good piece. If you want to read it online, check it out. But, squads, places to fill, which, we'll be interested to see how many it will sign this summer.
Well, that's the perfect segue, Rossi. And also, I'd just like to stress that I do like transfers. I don't like transfer speculation. Endless, boring, inane, made-up transfer speculation. I don't know if I've mentioned it before. I hate it. Stewie, you wrote an excellent piece, as Ross correctly said there, speculating as to how many, well, not speculating, actually stating how many slots Town have got to fill in their squad, and also opining as to where, in terms of priority, those may be. Shall we talk about that now?
Yeah, before we do, though, can I just add a little bit of love for Janoi Danasian as well? We've talked quite a bit about Caden Jackson. Absolutely the same. He's had the same sort of Ipswich Town career arc in many ways. Arrived in the same summer from Paul Hurst. I mean, if you remember, signed him from Accrington on loan initially because there was kind of this international red tape around his work permit that was really weird. And then by the time they could finally sign him permanently in the January, which they were committed to doing, he was immediately loaned back to from whence he came to Accrington, which is not the best of starts. And he's kind of had his ups and downs and was another one that kind of completely rejuvenated under McKenna. I think people forget that he started every league game for about 18 months after McKenna first took over, and that relationship he had down the right side with Wes Burns, with their little handshake celebration. And, you know, he was such a key part of getting the McKenna era off to the flying start it was. And it was only when sort of Harry Cutt came in that January transfer window that his chances dropped a little bit. But again, much like Caden, someone who's never sulked, has always been sort of talked up as being a really good character behind the scenes. There were some sad moments. I remember going to games during the COVID season and he wasn't even in the squad, wasn't even on the bench. And we'd see him sort of sat up in empty stands with his hood pulled over his head in the middle of winter. And it would have been very easy for him and Caden to have got fallen out of love with it. And I'm sure there were some dark points for both of them, but I think they're both really, you know, credit to themselves and a proof to other players out there that, you know, if you keep your head down, if you keep your attitude right, that things can turn in football. And, you know, both of them have left their mark at Ipswich Town and will be wished well.
Are you saying, Stu, there's definitely no chance of a fifth period of denascence?
I'd say it's highly unlikely. I know it's slightly ambiguous with the statement saying that he'll come back to train, but it feels like a sort of a duty of care situation for me. That, you know, we'll get you right. And I as much as he's a really solid, does what it says on the tin, know what you're gonna get out of him. His super strength, we talk about McKenna kind of finding the super strengths in players, is a one-on-one defender. Not many wingers get past him. And there's an argument that maybe there are times against some of the trickiest of Premier League wingers that might be needed. But I just think the injuries that he's had last year, and he's had the surgery, groin abductor surgery, and had a few sort of setbacks from that. I would say that he's probably reached the end of the road, it feels like to me, sadly.
Okay. Right then, let's talk about the sexy stuff. This is what gets people really excited. You're going to do, when I'm away next week, you're going to speak excitedly about loads of transfer speculation and toss some names into potential transfer walk. And I'm pleased I won't be here for that. And I definitely won't be listening to it either. But Stewie, you did your piece this morning. You talked about slots to fill in the Town squad. And you came up with the conclusion there are nine senior squad places that they can fill over the summer. A squad of 25. Do you want to just tell us how you came to that number and what the rules are, and then we can think about whereabouts the priorities might be.
Yes, I will load said article up in the background so I can make sure I get this right. But as was the case in the Championship, it's a 25-man squad. In League One, it was 22, but that didn't include goalkeepers. Above League One, it's 25-man squad, but that does include goalkeepers. But as has always been the case, those under the age of 21... and there's a set date for that, which is born on the 1st of January 2003, heading into next season, don't count towards the squad. Amari Hutchinson wouldn't count, just to throw that out there. So 25-man squad, of which Ipswich are currently at, and you'll find it. It's essentially 16 when you discount some players that are pretty obviously... not going to be included, which are the likes of, I think it's safe to say, Corey and Darba, Freddie Ladapo, Gassana Hadmi. None of those are going to be kind of registered and taking up a spot, are they? So 16 kind of senior players left when you strip away the loan players and those who've been released and those that are unlikely to play, which leaves the said number of spots to play with nine.
So between you and Alex have kind of come to a number of between 7 and 10 signings. And when I say I'm not going to listen to next week's podcast, obviously that was a joke, friends. I will, because it will be excellent. superb content as everything we bring you is. But AJ, if there is a priority, and essentially when you did your piece, you pretty much said they need to sign someone in every position. And I think Stu said something similar. If you could move the pieces around the chessboard and you were able to sign players in terms of priority positions, where would you start? Where would you go? Right, first of all, we need to sort this out.
Wow, that is a question.
Well, for example, you've already talked about right back.
Yeah, right, but I think defence is probably the one that stands out, and I'm not going to jump on they need to sort the defence out because it's not good enough, because they conceded too many goals in the Championship. I think with the way that Town played, they were actually quite a good defensive team in the Championship, so I don't necessarily think it's that. But when you look at the back line, the full-back areas are thin, let's be honest. Even if, I mean, I spoke about right back, but look at left back, who's the cover to Leif Davis at the moment? Is it Cam Humphreys, would you argue, in probably the group that's there at the moment? So you've got three players that can play fullback, you'd say one of them that's totally natural in that position. So that's really where I'd be looking at getting in maybe two players and one who could cover. You're probably looking at wanting a centre back there as well, just to add that competition. I like the idea of having Wolfenden, Twanzebe, Burgess, and another. I think that really adds good depth. And then from there, it's just filling in the gap. So fullback would be the one that would stand out for me. There are lots of players who can cover both sides. Like we have a Brandon Williams, and there'll be good options out there. That would be the standout, knowing that you really need that to start building even a starting 11. And then from there, you just kind of look through the team in terms of midfielders, wide players. Strikers is going to be the obvious one that people are going to want. Your Premier League proven striker who's going to score 20 goals in a season, etc., etc. But I definitely think defensively will be the first port of call.
Why is it always 20 goals in a season, by the way? Every level, 20 goals. It's like this mythical number, isn't it?
How many people actually get that as well?
Exactly.
It's quite rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want two players for every position, ideally, don't you? And looking at it, there's probably only three positions where Ipswich have currently got that. And that's centre-back, where you got Wolfie, Cam Burgess, Twanzebe and George Edmondson. So you've got four centre-halves there, and then there's question marks over whether they're the four that are good enough is another debate, but you have at least got two for every for that position. Then you've got this sort of inside left forward role where you've got Broadhead backed up by Marcus Harness, but you've stripped Sarmiento away from that, but you have got two for that. And then striker, where you've got Hurst and Alhamady. Again, is that enough? Probably not. There's probably a chance that Ali Alhamady, having been in League Two not so long ago, might be alone there for him. I don't know, but I certainly don't think you'd be relying on him as being your only backup striker, that's for sure. So, and then every other position, you've only got one player there. You certainly haven't got two for all those positions. You've got three central midfielders when you need four. We've talked about the fullback positions Alex has just mentioned. So I would say ideally you'd have two for every position, which takes you to 22. And then those extra three players, you probably want them more in the attacking positions because, as we know, Kieran McKenna likes his kind of forward, he'll change probably all four of his forward players in the second half of a lot of games. And that's where most of the rotation, and he expects them to go out, empty the tank and tap out for fresh legs. So those extra players where you're looking at maybe having three options for different positions would probably come in those forward units. And obviously there's a bit of versatility and crossover in there as well, which we know the manager likes.
Yeah, Rossi, you obviously are our man with the fans. I don't want to start throwing around names this week because I'll leave you to do that next week. But there is one name that clearly is writ large on most fans off-season summer window target list, which would be Starboy himself, Omari Hutchinson, spoke in glowing terms about his loan at Ipswich Town earlier this week on the Chelsea website. Said it was the perfect loan move, which kind of bodes well, doesn't it, for him potentially being interested in coming back. But there's a lot of interest in him, and we're already talking about 20 million plus and Feyenoord and Ajax and Stuttgart. How in terms of priority, where would you put re-signing Omari? And clearly 20 million is a lot of money. It completely smashed Ipswich Town's transfer record to pieces, which was its 4.5 million still. Do you think that would be justified?
Good question. Very good question.
It's a good question, there. Isn't it? I surprised myself.
Yeah. That's a lot of money for obviously a talented youngster. Obviously, I'm sure everyone wants him back. I'd like to have him back, but he's never played in the Premier League. So do you spend all that money on a unproven Premier League player? Obviously, he was unproven in the Championship and he proved he did very well with those goals, assists and those performances. I don't know if he's on the high priority list for McKenna and co. I'm sure they.
What about you, though? What would you say?
I'm not 20 million. That's a lot of money. You know, I don't think we want to spend too big on, you know, one player. You know, you want to spread it about a little bit. You know, be smart with the signings, which they do. They, you know, we signed Leif Davis for like 1.5 million or something stupid. So, you know, he's now probably worth 20 million. But my gut says that I don't want us to spend that much money on a single player this early days into, you know, the Premier League. This is our first season in the Premier League. Maybe in a couple of years' time, potentially. But we shall see. I know he hasn't got a future at Chelsea because they just will sign the next, you know, star from Brazil who's 16 years old, you know, and he'll get loaned out 500 times. So, you know, it's definitely a permanent move. He's on the cards for Amari. You know, hopefully it is us, but obviously he's got a lot of interest. So watch his space. But I don't want us to spend 20 million on a single player. You know,
that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting, Rossi. I like that because as a fan, when you start talking about that sort of money, that excites you, doesn't it? You think, oh, yeah, come on, we'll have a bit of that. But Ashton has always spoken, AJ, about the danger of emotion, particularly last season and spending in pursuit of the Premier League. They're now in the Premier League, but there still has to be that caution, you would suggest, around suddenly spunking loads of cash. Where would you stand on the Amari debate, though? If indeed 20 million is the figure, what would be your stance on pursuing that very talented young man?
100% 20 million. I'd be bringing him in 100%. Purely because I think that for starters, if Ipswich want him and Kieran McKenna wants him, I think that Kieran McKenna, having worked at the top level, knows that he has what it takes, and we're not in any position to doubt his judgment. He doesn't get much wrong. That's the first point. I think that if he then goes and gets it right, and Amari does impress in the Premier League, you're then looking at a player who's probably doubled his value. Even in the season, if he goes out there and really performs in the Premier League, you're looking at a player, given his age, given his profile, his background, that would be worth 40, 50 million north of that, especially if Ipswich were to stay up and they'd have a really strong hand in that. So that's what makes sense to me. I get it as well in terms of the budget, in terms of not wanting to go and splash what would be a lot of cash. It is a lot of cash, but it also isn't necessarily that much. When you look at the money that's going to be coming in, I'll lead on to something that I recorded with someone yesterday in a bit. But it's not actually going to be that much in what the modern situation is. You look at TV money being worth 100 million a year, the actual money that you get from being in the Premier League not being too dissimilar. You have to comply with lots of different rules. But as long as you do that and they've set out the numbers there, I don't necessarily think that 20 million is going to be too high. I do probably actually think it will end up being a higher figure. I know there's been some reports saying that Chelsea might try and push maybe 5 to 10 million higher. So we'll have to wait and see. But having looked at I have a little list of what I would do in the summer in terms of the recruits, which would be probably, I'd say, 10 to 11 players. You're looking at maybe 3 or 4 of those who are not necessarily slap bang in that region, but maybe more premium priced players. And yeah, exactly, Ross, doing the little money signs. And he is a premium player and he's proven that. And I think that the potential across a number of seasons and in the future to be more than worth the 20 million is more than enough to convince Town to go for him if that is what it's going to be. And it's also going to be about convincing him because, yeah, he gets to work with McKenna and might think that there's a springboard to really big things in the future. But if you look at a Stuttgart, for example, that's Champions League football next year. So it will be a decision for him as well.
Mm. Siri, what are your thoughts on the Amari thing? I mean, you, in terms of AJ saying yes, definitely spend 20 million. It's a guy that didn't start every game last season. So, I mean, clearly towards the end of the season, he was brilliant. But where do you play him? And also, in terms of signing, we talked there about 10 players, 11 players. There's got to be that balance, hasn't there, we've talked about with the camaraderie. So could you sign, for example, 11 players and still keep that balance, do you think?
I think so, because you are still retaining the core of the squad. You've lost some really good dressing room guys, and we've talked about the retain list, and that's something not to be kind of underestimated. You hear the glowing terms in which the likes of Shawnee Aluko and Don Ball and Caden Jackson and Janoi Danasi and all the guys we've been talking about, the role that they've played in kind of supporting the group shouldn't be underestimated. And I think there'll be an element of needing to kind of replace some of those qualities as well. But the core of the squad, the team is still there, isn't it? Burns, Chaplin, Morsi, Davis, Wolfenden, Hurst, probably Hlagki. So I think we've talked about it from day one of them getting promoted, is retaining that core, which I think they have done, but also trying to kind of improve it, and the water level's rising. And if you can improve those underneath, and it will be interesting to see out of, say it is 10 players coming in, how many of those will be starters and how many of those will kind of maybe be start off at the very least as kind of squad players with, you know, development in mind, maybe half and half. And then the starting team on the opening day, how many of those will be debutants? I still think there'll be more of the old guard than the new guard, maybe in the first few weeks of the season, and that might develop as the season goes on. But it is all about balancing acts. Coming back to Amari, Mark Ashton has always said, we'll be brave, we'll be bold, and we won't be reckless. And it will just be about how far they kind of want to push that as well. It's we're talking about a volume of players that need to come in, as we've discussed. How much weight do you want to put towards certain guys? And then they'll pick up some free agents and some loan players as well. 20 million sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? Because it's alien to us at Ipswich Town. You know, we went through years of Marcus Evans and Mick McCarthy where it was frees and loans, and it's only in the last couple of years that we've been going, wow, seven-figure fees for players, one million, 1.5 million. So a jump to 20 does sound big, but, you know, I've just been looking at what Burnley and Sheffield United spent last summer after they got promoted. You know, they were spending 10, 15 million pounds is a pretty sort of bog-standard Premier League fee now on players. We know he's a known entity to Ipswich Town, isn't he? He's a good age. He's someone that you think, if Ipswich are going to spend that sort of money, he's the type of player that you want to do it on. Someone that you know what you're going to get from him, that he's an age where you might recoup that money tenfold, possibly further down the line. So, but if it is starting to edge towards 25, 30, there'll come a point where Ipswich maybe have to draw a line on it.
Yeah, Rossi, so I think both the boys are edging towards saying yes, splash the cash on Amari. You're saying no. I'm not really entirely sure what camp I'm in, because my natural kind of excitable self wants to go, yeah, 35 million, get him in. But equally, I think that's a lot of money to spend, as I said, on a guy that didn't start every game last season. And you don't want to, surely, if you're spending that much money, you want a guy who's going to be in every game starter. And where would, in that scenario, where do you see Amari fitting into the side? Because obviously he played as a 10, he's also played wide right as well, and he can play left. Where would you see him fitting in if they did bring him in?
Asking me, yeah?
I'm asking you.
So, good question. probably that 10 role, maybe.
Either Chappers.
Competition. Got a competition. Yeah. Obviously, that is that competition there. That's the, because there's no other 10s, is there? You know, really. You know, Broadhead's more of a left sider. Wes Taylor, on maybe. The right. Taylor, yeah, could push him there. The good thing about certain players, definitely, you know, McKenna players, as you said, Mick McCarthy players there. Good old Tabby. they're versatile, aren't they? These players can play different positions. So Murray can play on the wing if you want him to. So yeah, but 30 million on Amari, that sounds exciting, but that's on one player. I know we're in this Premier League now. We've got the money. And obviously, you know, I'm probably just got my head on, like, we only spent, I know that was back in 2001, we spent 4.5 million on a goalkeeper who, you know, was okay, but obviously got relegated. But yeah, I'm just being cautious. I don't want to get too excited because that's on one player. Are we going to spend, you know, 10, 20 million on every player we sign? I think we could be smart. I think McKenna and Ashton, they can be smart with their signings. And, you know, we've got Leif Davis, you know, for 1.5 million. I know we were a League One club back then, but sometimes you can make those smart signings. And hopefully that's our case. That dashboard will be little gems in there, and we shall see.
The good thing is that Chelsea are in a position, it sounds like, where they need to raise a few funds, and the deadline of kind of the end of June before the new set of accounts kick in. And so maybe their bargaining power isn't super strong on this one. Otherwise, you know, there's talk that that's why Pochettino left, because, you know, he's under pressure to sell the likes of Gallagher and Chalobah and others as well. So that might strengthen Ipswich's hand. And then, you know, it's not just £20 million straight out your bank account. They structure these deals accordingly, where it will get spread over a certain period of time, and it will be based on appearances and various milestones and things like that. But as Alex says, there is also the piece of, you know, we're just assuming here that Amari would is going to jump at the chance to come back to Ipswich. He's absolutely loved it. It has been the perfect loan for him, but he's a very ambitious boy as well. You know, he talked in one of his very early press conferences about wanting to be a world-class player in quite an understated manner. But he's got the eye of the tiger. And as you say, Champions League football, I think there was talks in from Sky in Germany that he attended Stuttgart's final game of the season and has already kind of been shown around there and everything as well. So even if Ipswich can do the numbers, they would still have a battle to kind of convince him that this is the right step for him in his career.
Before we move on to talking about big money stuff that AJ was involved in yesterday, which was very interesting, just one final question. So I thought it was interesting you included in your speculative piece about where people may be signed this summer. You mentioned Brandon Williams as a potential argument for bringing him back. Now, clearly, he did some good things on the pitch and well-documented kind of off-field issues. But is that something you think is worthy of a conversation this summer?
Worthy of a conversation, but, you know, we don't know the full extent of the off-field situation at the moment. Obviously, it's now sort of public knowledge that he's got court cases going on regarding sort of driving and things like that. But as a player, strip all of that away. Yeah. I saw enough in him as a player last year when he was flying around that sort of autumn time to think that he would, you know, we talked about fullback being really light in the fullback positions. He's someone who can play both of those roles. He's going to be a free agent because his contract's up at Manchester United. Maybe seen as kind of damaged goods elsewhere, so that you're getting his wage at a lower level than it would have been without all of that. Might be sort of an opportunistic moment to kind of swoop, and, you know, those at Ipswich will know exactly what they're getting, the character and everything. Kieran's worked with him before, so obviously felt that wasn't an issue, but only those that kind of know exactly what's going on will be able to make that judgment call. But if we're talking about if we're going to spend on X area of the squad and put a load of money into a striker and maybe Amari and stuff like that, there has to be some give and take. And if that means you can get someone of Brandon Williams' kind of pedigree, he's played Premier League football. I think he's ticks a lot of the Kieran McKenna boxes in terms of being athletic and young, hungry, all that sort of stuff. I wouldn't completely rule it out, but we'll see. Maybe it felt like they're always kind of keeping their options open throughout the whole saga in the second half of last season. Is he coming back? And, well, maybe it's up to Manchester United. There was never any kind of drawing a line in the sand from Ipswich Town to say, that's done now sort of thing. So maybe that was in mind to kind of thinking, well, we might need to keep our options open further down the line. Gut feeling is it probably won't happen, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Interesting indeed. Right, let's draw a line under this chat. Let's say the boys will probably do a bigger transfer window preview next week. The window, of course, flies open a week on Friday, June the 14th, same day as the Euros kickoff, which is what a time to be alive. But AJ, I want to talk about something you did yesterday, which I really, really enjoyed. I know a lot of people have already listened to it, and I don't want to give away too much of the crown jewels, as it were. But you spoke to Kieran Maguire, football finance expert, about what life in the Premier League might be like for Ipswich Town. And I listened to it while I was in the gym, and I was that Vince McMahon meme, you know, if you can mention Vince McMahon anymore, you know, kind of in his chair, falling backwards, getting more and more excited as these figures were rolling off Kieran Maguire's tongue. Just one that springs to mind. Town got 8 million from going up League One Championship in TV money. Worst case scenario, they get 105 million for going up into the Premier League. And I also thought stuff was really interesting about just the things they've got to do at Portman Road, right down to the wattage of the light bulbs in the floodlights to make sure that the ultra HD cameras can capture everything. And also the space for the broadcast trucks outside. I thought it was really interesting, mate. Great work, great interview. Do you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, thank you. I want to just put out a thank you as well to Kieran Maguire for coming on. He's Price of Football book, podcast, all those different things. He knows his stuff. So really good to talk to him. And it was just fascinating to get a background of what last season was like. I thought it was really interesting in terms of what Town achieved. Because you look at, obviously, on the surface, Ipswich coming up from League One, competing with parachute payment clubs, winning promotion, great story. But then when you back in all the stats that come with that, I thought that was truly fascinating. Looking at next season and what the summer might bring is going to be very interesting as well. Looking at the right approaches, the wrong approaches, how you balance all these different things, what the success stories have been, what other clubs have struggled with, and the numbers behind that. FFP is the three letters that fans probably a little bit worried about, because we know that Ipswich have the money. If you could go out and spend whatever you wanted, this would be a very busy summer for Ipswich Town, you'd imagine. But there are restraints there, and Ipswich, of all the clubs, actually are going to be probably hit the hardest. Yes, they'll have a lot more kind of fresh money coming in, but this is different to, say, Southampton and Leicester, who both came back at the first time of asking. So they've got more leeway in terms of their FFP, which I thought was quite interesting there as well. Big boosts locally in terms of the economy, in terms of things like the community trust, I think, that people might overlook. There's going to be a lot more money coming into there as well. So many different aspects of it. Obviously, things that are going to need to come out, as you've mentioned, in terms of the facilities, that Portman Road, space for the trucks to park, cameras, lights. I know that Mark Ashton has spoken at length about those as well. Does Kieran McKenna's big new contract play a part in that? Because you think there's 6 million a year is the reported figure. If you listen, you'll get a fairly conclusive answer on that one as well. So a really well-rounded analysis of what the next at least 12 months are going to look like, but also beyond that, because, yes, it's all about the money that Ipswich have to spend and what the financial landscape is with FFP, but it also stretches beyond that as well, both in terms of stretching beyond the club, in terms of what happens on the pitch. It's also about what happens off the pitch in the community, but also beyond this season, because this is, as Kieran said on the podcast, it's a promotion that is the biggest and richest in the world, really, and it will have a lasting effect on this football club that goes well beyond the season.
Yeah, go and listen to it, friends. It is a really good listen, about half an hour or so. As I say, lots of stuff to really kind of make your eyebrows raise, get a bit excited about, and also thought-provoking stuff, like the FFP stuff, the way that Town are essentially handicapped against teams that have been in the Premier League for longer in terms of how much losses they can make, that kind of stuff. Very, very interesting. And also, Kieran says some things you maybe wouldn't expect him to say. Kind of defends the Premier League much maligned and FFP much maligned, but he also says that's, in some cases, that's quite unfair and there has to be a way of doing these things. So definitely a very, very interesting listen. Go and listen to it, friends. And now for something completely different to finish the show, I want to talk to you, friends, about Leif Davis and his unusual hobby, which emerged this week. Leif Davis, apparently, in his spare time to calm down, to relax, you'd think probably plays FIFA, Fortnite, whatever the kids are playing these days. No, he plays, if that's the right word, Flight Simulator, which, as I understand it, is a game where you essentially replicate real-life flights So I, immediately in my head, I've got him in his little captain's hat, his little epaulettes on, doing a 15-hour flight from Stansted to Phoenix in America. I don't know if you've seen what's the Daisy May Cooper series? This Country, is it This Country, where she does that with her dad in the caravan? That's essentially what I'm envisioning Leaf doing. So I thought I'd ask boys, what are our unusual hobbies? Without getting too X-rated about things, have you got any boys? I know clearly we've all got hobbies. Have you got any that are slightly more unusual? Things that you like doing in your spare time?
On the Leif Davis thing, I did hear about this. I heard about this as far back as last summer. Right. Someone told me that when Leif got back from the pre-season trip to Austria, the first thing he did when he got in was recreate the flight that he'd just been on to Vienna on Flight Simulator. I'm assuming he's got some little rig set up and all of that. And having just been
a captain.
Having been on the flight, he then immediately, and you do it in real time as well. Yeah. So if the flight takes 2 hours, you sit there for 2 hours and fly a pretend plane.
But there's so many questions, and we've got to get to the bottom of this, boys. We get to speak to Leif. Does he have relief captains? Does he give himself little rest breaks? You know, like in real flights? Has he ever done a 24-hour crossing to Australia?
Do the little announcements as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to pinch my nose and do the little voice then. This is your captain speaking.
This is your captain, Leif Davis speaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please watch the safety brief. Has he got someone doing a safety briefing as part of it? So many questions we can get stuck into. In terms of unusual hobbies, friends, things that I enjoy that maybe other people wouldn't. I like going to the tip.
That's not a hobby.
Well, it is. I quite enjoy it. When I think
I did that a lot. I did that a lot exactly. On the move.
Yeah, when you move house.
It was actually nice, just chucking things in there.
It's really cathartic, I think.
Yeah.
I also love pressure washing the sweet S out of stuff. I did that. I woke up the Heath garden the other day, which involves pressure washing all of the patio, making it look nice and clean and white. Love that. And the other thing I really like doing, which my wife thinks is very odd and probably is quite odd, is I'd like just standing looking at my cigar collection, occasionally kind of rolling one between my fingers and giving it a little bit of a nose, just reminding myself that I've got them when I need them. So there would be my three, probably in varying degrees of weirdness. Friends, who's gonna fess up to other unusual hobbies? Don't all speak at once.
I've got in my mind right now is Stu being like the perfect airline captain. I feel like he has the perfect.
Oh,
like
he would. I've said this before.
Martin Pert, like doing the safety briefing and all.
You want in any scenario, you want Watson to be flying your plane, Mr. Calm, cool, logical, methodical.
But we did this one, didn't we?
Wouldn't panic, yeah. Watson. I'd want him behind the wheel of my Qantas Airlines flight going to Australia.
You'd be fine with that, even though I don't have any knowledge at all.
We would trust you.
Yeah, I still feel that you'd have a trust level.
If you're picking of all of us,
100% Watson. 100% Watson. I mean, yeah, I don't fancy dying in a fiery crash with either you or Rossi behind the wheel of a jet.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, we go down.
I've got that Father Ted meme in my head now. In terms of
pressing the button.
That was going to be one of mine. Was going to be Father Ted episodes.
Oh, brilliant. I thought you were going to say pressing buttons was your
initial. Yeah. Every day I'd wake up and have that moment where the camera pans at me and then the button, like, Father Ted was going to be one of mine.
That's not an unusual hobby. That's the greatest sitcom that's ever made. That's not
unusual. But it's not unusual for you, is it? I mean, it would be for Ross and it would be for Shin, probably for most people, would be in my case, given, as you mentioned, that the actor who played Father Ted died before I was born. That was definitely one of them. The thing is, my life is so based around football, which is boring, isn't it?
But you must do other things, Alex, in your life. You must have other things that interest you. You're going to see, for example, friends, this is unusual for a 23-year-old man. You're going to watch Taylor Swift next week.
Yeah, definitely out of pure choice and voluntary. Yes, it's definitely not that my girlfriend is quite keen to go and see it at Anfield next week. So yeah, that's one of them. Music. Well, okay, I'll give you a music one. This is very, I don't know if it's strange or different, but I find that having background music, this isn't necessary, but having background music while you're working or something, or quite often driving, keep yourself calm, mellowed out, is quite good. Although sometimes I'll have like heavier stuff on. So when I was younger in the Netherlands, every single week I'd go to this theme park called the Efteling. Actually, this side, well, I'm wearing a hoodie from it right now, funnily enough. Literally went every single week from like the ages of about 3 up until 8 or 9. And, you know, a lot of childhood memories from that. And there's just loads of music of the online, and I'll just have it on while I'm driving. While I'm
from the theme park?
Yeah. It's like classical music. But okay. It's like a reassuring, calming music that just kind of blends in the background. So that's one of mine.
Okay.
Alton Towers has its own, like, theme.
Similar-ish, yeah. It's more of a Disney vibe, but slightly straight. The Dutch are... I hope that there are no Dutch listeners who are going to be... Brilliant. It's unique people, we'll say then, and it's a bit like a slightly strange version of Disneyland, but just those kind of classical music bits going on in the background just keeps you mellowed out. And if you're driving, I do a lot of driving because, I mean, having to get to Ipswich and back all the time, it's just having that like on a...
Move to Ipswich, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
You drive to Ipswich listening to classical music from a Dutch theme park?
Often, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, you wanted something weird, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. This is exactly what I was after. I'm not sure I'd call it a hobby, but it's certainly an insight. Stewie.
Hi.
I remember you talking not too long ago about you getting quite into the old gardening there. Is that still something you're pursuing as a hobby?
Very pleased with my wisteria this year. Yeah. After several years, it's finally bloomed.
Excellent news.
Buzzing about that. Weird hobbies. I've told you that this is more my wife's hobby. She likes collecting sea glass, and we make our annual pilgrimage up to Seaham, just south of Sunderland, where a lot of sea glass gets washed up on the beach.
What does she do with it?
Just collects it, turns some of it into art.
Okay.
Puts it in jars, just all around the house. This is a hobby in the making, potential one for me. I've just literally in the last week come into possession of a metal detector.
Now that excites me.
I've been listening to the podcast Chatterbix for quite a long time. David Earl, who we had on to preview an Exeter game a little while back, who did my new football club. Through doing that, I got into his other podcast, Chatterbix, and he suddenly got into metal detecting. And then I listened to that. Then I went back and watched Detectorists.
Yeah.
And then found out that my in-laws were in possession of one that they didn't really use. And so it's come home with me. I've yet to try it out yet. I need to look up the instructions and everything. But I'll let you know how I get on.
Well, you've certainly got a lot of fields around you, Stu.
Exactly.
And I kind of...
East Anglian soil is full of treasure. I'm convinced myself I'm going to find
Roman hoard. Yeah. Mm. Can I come with you, Stu? Because I quite like the...
Yeah.
In my head, the first thing you find is going to be worth about £1 billion.
Exactly that.
So, yeah, that's superb. The Detectorist, another...
I'll find the new Sutton Hoo.
Imagine that. Right then. So, Rossi, we've had sniffing cigars, going to the tip, listening to theme music from a Dutch theme park, and potentially now metal detecting. How about yourself? You are probably, I would say...
Probably the theory tests, isn't it?
Yeah. Rossi, you're probably the coolest among us. What unusual hobbies does young Master Halls have?
I like trains. Do you like trains?
What?
Yeah, I like trains.
No, you like going on trains. You don't know anything about trains. It's not like a train spotting thing.
No, I just like sitting on a train and looking out. You know, I've got to get a train now from where I live, so I'm going to be on more trains than ever.
Excellent. Because you refuse to learn to drive.
I refuse. I'm just useless.
Yeah.
Human being when it comes to driving and theory tests. I've got a weird fetish for ex-Blues players, obviously, with my things. I've got spreadsheets galore.
Panicked then.
We're going to learn so much more about Ross then.
I like feet. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a bit boring, to be fair. I just trained. To be honest, I like to go on for walks. Just I like walks. So.
Fair enough. What was it you like about trains, Ross, that you enjoy so much?
Just you could just look outside and just see the world go by. Just see random people on there. I bumped into some interesting people during my train trips.
What's the best train ride you've ever been on?
Oh, I've got to say the Plymouth one is always good because it's a long way. But you know, when you get just past, I think, is it Exeter Stew, where you can see the water? Mm. You know, you see, right next to the, the water.
We enjoyed that last time because we essentially just took out two rows of seats to ourselves, which I was really worried we'd just look like total arseholes by like putting our stuff on the sin, like trying to essentially just expand two rows into one so we have more space. But it's one of those where I agree with Ross, but also after how many hours is it on there? Like four or five hours on there? You feel your back a bit after that. Jeez.
You also need, and my eyes were open to this when we went to Manchester for the Pod Awards, you also need to take out a loan to travel on trains now, don't you? It is incredibly expensive. Not for me at all.
Is Ross saying I like trains the equivalent of me saying like I like speaking English by virtue of the fact that I can't speak any other language, so therefore it's my hobby?
It kind of is, but it's also, I find it endearing and charming.
Yeah,
as only Ross can be. Right, friends, I think we've waffled on enough now. We should probably get on with our working days. Right, friends, thanks for listening today. I hope you've found something of value in amongst all the transfer chat, the retained list, and the unusual hobbies. Just a reminder, friends, to support our sponsors, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on all their excellent clobber on there. And also, in terms of stuff to promote, we currently have a £4 for 4 months offer on all of our content. Which is really good. Obviously, it'll take you through the summer and well into the Premier League. So if you've not signed up already, and I know those of you already have, now would be a good time to sign up and take advantage of that offer. You can also get 40% off a whole year, which I think works out at less than £3 a month. So less than half a pint a month, you can have all our wonderful stuff. And also, as subscribers, you get access to exclusive competitions. And one of those has just dropped and will run throughout the month of June, which is a chance to win £100 worth of vouchers for the Ipswich Town Club shop. So you also get access to those exclusive competitions by being a subscriber, as well as instantly becoming all of our best friends. Anything else to mention, friends, before we take our leave? You got anything else you want to bring up? Alex, you look like you're unmuting yourself, so I'm going to come to you.
I really should have just said football stats, shouldn't I? That would have made my life a lot less easy.
It's not unusual, though, is it, for you?
Not for me, but I mean, riding on a train isn't unusual for most people, so here we are. Sorry, Ross.
Shots fired. Anything else to mention, boys? Stewie, Rossi?
No other business.
Have we got a fan social coming this week, Rossi, from your new location?
Yeah, should be on Friday. So, tune in.
Lovely stuff. Right then, friends, I'm off now for a week and a bit, so I'll leave you in the boys' capable hands. And as I say, look out for that transfer special next week ahead of the transfer window opening. Also, obviously, go and listen to Kieran Maguire podcast with AJ. And if you've not listened to them already, you can listen to Rossi's catch-ups with David Norris and Jason Cundy, both of which are excellent value and excellent listening. Friends, I will see you on the other side of my holiday. Have a great rest of week next week, and we'll speak to you, excitingly, friends, almost on the verge of, if not after, the fixtures are released. Man United away, that's all I'm saying. I'll speak to you next time, friends.
breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.